Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello, it's Rob Beckett on the Magic Sponge. I've got Ian Smith with me. I don't know what episode this is, and I'm joined.
Four? Three?
Two.
Was that two? We don't know.
No.
Well, that's Kev Gallen. You can hear there. You are,
hi,
Kev?
I'm back.
We've got no Bullard this week. I think we just should just jib him off forever, because he
is the laziest,
most bone-idle,
boring,
shit-clove-wearing ex-footballer.
Ever.
That's Kev Gallen's pint of coffee that's just come in. There you go, mate.
Just to get me sweating a little bit more in the sauna.
Bullard just keeps cancelling on us.
What is he fishing?
Do you know
today?
What? He's fishing. He can't do nothing on a Wednesday because he's fishing.
Well, he must have heard about the studio.
He got Soccer AM.
There ain't enough room.
He got Soccer AM. It's a tight studio. He got Soccer AM and he's just jibbed us off.
We're the big boys now.
Well, our guest today, you're going to be standing for Bullard.
Thank you.
Kev Gallen, hopefully you last longer than you did in Game for Grenfell.
That was half an hour. I did half an hour. That was good for me.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
All right.
We got Kevin Chipper Watson.
That's the one, yeah.
So do you want to be called Kevin Chipper or...
Watto.
Watto. Yeah.
Watto.
Anything's
what
fine.
Dog? The what's it?
I'm sure Gallen's got some other names.
So you know each other. Let's talk. How do you two know? You used to play for Tottenham.
Yeah.
And then you went Swindon.
Swindon.
And then where else did you go?
Swindon to Reading.
To Reading. Double Swindon.
Colchester.
Colchester.
And then finished.
Rotherham?
Rotherham. Yeah.
Rotherham. I forgot Rotherham. More about his career.
There's only two promotions
Bristol?
There as well.
Two promotions. Rotherham.
Forgot
them. I thought he said two Peronis.
You're still recovering from the weekend, Ken. And then you was a coach at Luton, and that's how you two knew each other.
Yeah.
Well, I sort of knew of what we played against each other, but when I was a kid playing for QPR youth team, we used to play against Tottenham youth team. Yeah. And I used to remember, who is this Flash geezer?
Was you Flash?
giving it flicks and all that. Typical Tottenham youth team.
Really?
Back in the day, it was like... This lot mob are the flashiest in the South East Counties by a country mile.
To be fair,
having themselves.
You had a decent team. You always give us quite a decent game. There were some poor teams in that league, but you did give us a decent game.
Well, was I
Flash? 2 years younger.
No, not
than
me,
him,
mate.
By
there was
you were. I was a school
you're
boy.
You're 2 years younger than him.
Yeah.
So how old are you, Kev? You're
40.
You're 40. So
I was 3 years then.
So you're 40. You look. You do.
Shut up, Rob. Look at state of you. Them glasses ain't working again.
It doesn't matter, we're on audio.
Oh, okay.
No one can see nothing, Kev.
Well, he's wearing dodgy glasses,
yeah,
by
okay,
the way.
Cool. Yeah, that leaves next to me, Kev. You can't take the piss out of someone's glasses if they can't see the glasses.
I can.
Well, you can, but it's pointless.
I can describe them like a granddad.
Kev, why have you got a boner?
Because I love
you. Why have you got a massive lob on?
No, that's not a lob on. That's just normal.
What happened to you in the charity game? Game for Grenfell.
I'm lucky to get a boner after that.
What looked like. What? You got injured.
I'm joking.
It was funny as well because the QPR kit is all like white and blue hoops.
Yeah, but I was in away once.
White and blue hoops. They're proper skin. They're all under armour.
They didn't get your large one,
like. Extra large. An extra large is like a medium.
I bet you were searching around before the game. Has anyone got extra large?
I'll tell you what I was doing. I just went and stood next to Merce. Me look good. They kept away from Mo Farah.
Oh, so. But all the ex pros, they look like Tesco Value Jam Rolly Polies. They were all bulging out of these tiny t-shirts.
I just like to say, Rob has been in the gym and he looks like an Adonis now.
Thanks, Kev.
I'm not.
No, I mean, I'm no Adonis, but it was funny.
Understatement.
These pros, because it was the QPR, was it Les Ferdinand versus
Shearer?
Shearer in the game for raising money for the Grenfell Tower fire. And loads of
good cause.
Was it good fun? Did you?
Yeah, it was great fun. Yeah.
What was the Friday night like before the game?
Friday night, I had to go to a wedding reception.
Okay.
And I got a bit carried away.
Right, yeah.
As I usually do. I just drank too much.
How much did you drink?
I think about 10, 12 pints. It's a good pre-match.
That was before 7 o'clock, wasn't it?
And then you
and before I got to the reception.
And then how long did you play for? Half hour?
Well, I was doing really well, as you know, and don't give it that one. And then I got hurt.
You got hurt? What happened?
I shot, and my mate, Mark Bertram, who's on the other team, decided to do a flying headbutt into my leg, standing foot, and as I landed, I cracked my pubis bone.
Where is your pubis bone? I'm having a guess.
Get it out.
Where is it? Get it out.
Come on, Kev. That's your pubis bone.
There you go.
So where is your pubis bone?
Where your pubes are.
So someone's headbutted you in the dick?
No, they didn't. They headbutted my leg. And as I went down my stand, I don't know, I landed.
So did you have a cast on? No. How do you fix your pubis?
That's the problem. You can't. It's just a waiting game, and it's been 6-7 week ice. And the funny thing, right? So I went into Can I?
Yeah.
Never could before. What's so can't now.
But is it too painful to have sex?
Nah, it's all right now.
Is it?
A couple of.
But you have to just lay there.
Well, the usual.
Just strong. Like
I remember shooting, and I actually hit a good shot, and all I heard was the crowd go and I thought this is going in. And Shay Given supposedly pulled off a worldie, and as I'm on the floor, like I felt something crack there. Paul Merson comes up to me and goes, "Get up, Gallon," and I went, "No, mate, I'm finished." And I went, "Did I score?" He went, "No." I went, "Right, that's it. I'm walking off." And I literally walked off, went into the treatment room. The physio of QPR got me on the bed, and he's like, "I couldn't move. Honestly, the pain was so bad, like when I was lying down and getting up, I couldn't get off the bed. It was so sore, right?" So he's pulled me up. He's put ice down my jock strap. So I'm walking around with ice pack. As I get into the tunnel, my mate's there with Kate Moss.
Who's your mate?
Some dodgy bloke.
Who's your mate?
And I'm like, he's like, "All right, Kev." I went, "No." And he goes, "Here's Kate Moss." And I went, "Hello, Kate." Yeah, okay. And I went, "Kate, is he getting smaller? It's getting smaller even more now." See ya. And I just walked off. Yeah.
Did you have to go? Blew your chance of it. There was no point. Do you reckon if your pubis bone hadn't broken, you and Kate Moss could be a thing now?
Could be.
Imagine that, Kate Moss stepping out with Kev Gallon at Milan Fashion Week.
Could you imagine? With you on tow, you probably stabbed me in the back and get her.
I've stabbed anyone in the back. Yeah,
not for the last month.
No, there's no one left at Absolute Radio. They've all gone. You, Perry Groves, Ian Wright's gone now.
Russ Williams is gone.
Gone. Who else?
You're the producer.
Jeff Lloyd's gone.
No.
Yeah.
Proud of yourself?
Write the theme tune, sing the theme tune. We're going to be chatting to our guest. Originally, you stepped in last minute because we got let down by Steve Parrish twice in a row now. The Crystal Palace director or owner. Chairman.
He's waiting for a couple of more wins, isn't he?
Yeah. We were supposed to interview him the day Frank de Boer got sacked.
Yeah.
And I went, Joel, I can't see that happening, really.
No.
And then they beat
would have been a good podcast.
But they beat Chelsea, and I thought we'd be on. But he didn't. I can't be bothered with him. Mm. Waster. But don't worry, we've got even better now.
You'll be chairman soon.
Yeah. Parish step aside. So we've got Kevin Kev, and you said you started at Tottenham. Yeah. So who was in your youth team when you started?
We had a pretty good youth team. Yeah. So it was class of 92, funny enough. We ended up playing Man United in the semi-final of the FA Youth Cup.
All right.
And the other semi-final was Crystal Palace Wimbledon. So you got Tottenham in. They could have doctored it a bit, couldn't they? Anyway, no, we had Nicky Barmby, Sol Campbell, Darren Caskey. We had a, for the southeast and whatever, we had a good team, but we couldn't get near.
No, that was ridiculous.
They'd done us 5-1 over two legs, and we thought we were good.
Did
they? They were a bit special, those boys.
So was there a bit of like flash swagger if you got in the Tottenham youth team? Is that because you were saying, Kev, it was like...
Yeah, Kev
on the statement.
Yeah.
like what?
Kev would say so. I
were you jealous, though, that they were at a good club then? No offence to QPR.
He would have fitted in well in our group.
Yeah.
Old Chirpy over
there. You
were
a bit flash, though, weren't you?
Am I?
A little bit. Got a bit about you, you can.
Yeah, but not flashiness.
No, we had a couple. When we were in the youth team, there was already Caskey and Barmby, and they'd already signed 2-year professional forms before we'd even kicked a ball in the youth team.
Oh, really?
So they were highly thought of, yeah. And they were chirpy, though. They Barmby good. And Caskey. But Caskey, they could back it up.
They were good players. They had a really good team.
With Neil Ruddock there as well.
Yeah, Razor was there.
So he's in the first team when you
Razor was in the first team, yeah. It was like when I originally signed an apprenticeship, we got to the end. I was at that point, I don't know how it was, I was a goal scorer midfielder, sort of played off the left, got 16 goals. Barmby, Caskey, Sol, Jeff Minton, Danny Hill had already been given professional contracts, 2-year professional contracts. And I thought, well, I'm going to be fine here, you know, I've just got 16 goals in the youth team, I'm cruising. Anyway, called me up to the office and they just about offered me a year.
Who?
Really?
Like, well,
Terry.
Yeah,
the club
and the youth team. And I'm like, really? Yeah, don't take it if you don't want it. So I was almost like, well, I've got to. There's nowhere else I can go. I think Charlton were half interested at the time. So I went away, worked my socks off pre-season at home, was running every day. Come back, within 3 weeks, I was in the first team squad in front of all the boys that had the 2-year contracts. And within a month, I was on the pre-season tour and had a 4-year deal.
Really?
So I jumped over all of them, yeah, and made my debut before all of them in the September. So
why did that happen, do you think? Was it the extra work you put in?
I think so. I went away and was determined to come back and do well, and that's how it panned out. And then unfortunately, I made 5 appearances, League and Cup and friendlies. When Gazza moved to Lazio, I played in that. When Naim moved to Zaragoza, played in that home and away. So played some really good friendlies as well. And unfortunately, Terry got the sack at the end of that season. And of course, I still had 3 years left.
Yeah.
Ozzy come in, not really his cup of tea. Caskey jumped over me. And then I spent 3 years in the reserves and out on loan to all the bees. Brentford, Barnet, Bristol City, yeah. So, but I wouldn't have changed it. Because if I'd have left at 19 or whatever it was, it would have been far too early. I had a really good grounding, education, playing reserve football, and I left at the right time.
Yeah. Reserve football now, then, compared to now, is a massive difference.
Of course it is. You were going in a team with the pros that are working their way back from injury, desperate to do well, etc. Young ones coming up, and it was a really good mix. Now,
it's
not just, worth... Not worth
it's like a big youth academy, isn't it?
There's no tackling. It's ridiculous.
When you played in the reserves, basically, you played like our Tuesday, wasn't it, in a football combination. If you hadn't played in the first team on a Saturday, everyone was expected, unless you're injured, expected you're playing in the reserves.
Yeah, exactly right.
Now,
yeah.
It's like, it will, until like last year, it was under 21s, I know managers would go up to like a senior pro, do you want to play today? And they'll give it, nah, I'll just do a bit of extra training. Oh, no problem.
Yeah, and just leave them to it, yeah. Because they have so much money.
So those lads who are playing like for the under 23s, say that there was a game today, those under 23s say it would be Charlton v Palace, they're really, most of them are 18, 19. It's like a youth team game. If you're still playing for the under 23s and not out on loan, then you've got a bit of a problem.
You should
be out on loan. If you're like a Premiership club, an Arsenal, and you're playing and you're 20, 21 playing in the under 23s, well, you should be out on loan to like a League 2 or League 1 club or a non-league club.
Because they'll say stuff like, Fabregas was in the first team at 17. You know,
but the personality these young lads. That, well, they don't have no personalities, Kev, do they?
They're like soldiers. They've been drilled.
They don't crack their face. They get on the bus. They got the earphones on. They don't talk to each other. They play the game. They go home. Probably go on their Xbox or PlayStation. Yeah. They don't go out together. They don't mingle. They're literally individuals. Yeah. I mean, he was in the youth team, I was in the youth team reserves. You'd finish a reserve game. Could be 10 o'clock at night and you'd get yourself up London and go for a night out or go
to the pub. Go to the Leland Boulevard on a Tuesday night. It ain't affected
us, has it?
No.
No!
What do you reckon? Other than that,
I'm all right.
He's broke his pubes.
I think they're just... the vast amounts of money that are available now in the game, they see the light at the end of the tunnel, think, I want to be there. And even when they get there now, professionals, you don't see them hardly out, do you? Mingling together and team nights out and stuff like that. I see on Twitter the other day a night out that the Wimbledon team had 20 years ago, and it was every single player was there in the pub.
Yeah.
Pints, you couldn't even see the table, the wood. Just wine glasses and pint glasses. Yeah. And, you know, that's how
so
it should
money
be.
In it. And you're a manager, aren't you? Is it Bishop Stortford?
Bishop Stortford.
What level's that, Bishop Stortford?
That's the Southern Premier League.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's two below the conference.
So what was Leverhead? What was that, Jimmy?
Yeah,
was
same,
in? Is that the same league?
Same level.
Yeah.
That's the Ryman Premier. So Ryman Premier and Southern Premier are the same level.
Yeah, and so what are the players there like? Because obviously there's not as much money. Are they hungry for it? Or do they socialise? Are they still a bit starry?
Some of the things you see at that level, and Kev's involved in it as well at that level,
pupil,
are just
right.
Beyond belief, isn't it? It's really beyond belief what you see. I've had a text this morning. We played last night, the whole squad, no problems. See you Thursday for training. Get a text this morning from one of the young lads. Hi, Kev. Sorry, mate. Can't play Saturday. I've got to attend a family wedding. So at the minute, that puts me down to 13 players.
And also, what about, they ain't knocked up a wedding in a week.
What about this one?
They would have known about it.
What about this one? One of them's had three holidays since the start of season.
What, since
Who's
August?
Yeah. Judith Chalmers.
Hey, come up to me Friday. We're playing last Saturday. Come up to me Friday. I'll Kev, and this is one of my regular centre-halves.
Yeah.
He's very good.
And they're paid. It's semi-pro, so they're paid to
play. They're paid. And some of them are paid okay for this level. Bear in mind, it's only 3 days a week. Yeah.
So what would be an average salary?
Average salary in my team would probably be £125 a week.
And that's 3 days you want from them?
3 days, yeah.
Yeah.
Average. So,
yeah, so got, you get some a couple, maybe a few on
got,
a couple of hundred.
Got or... a couple, well, two or three on £50, a couple on a couple of £100.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not bad, is it, to do something you love? And
no, exactly right. And they're just, it was a whole new squad I put together in the summer because it took over 5 games before the end of last season. When they were in the Conference South, and I went in, and I think I threatened to quit after every game because they were just a team of mercenaries who were just picking up their dough. See you later. Down tools, and I'm going mental. They didn't care. Yeah, they're all gone. They've all gone.
So you sacked all of them.
They're gone.
Absolutely
clear out. Clear out.
Was there a point where you had no before you got the others in where you had like two players?
Pre-season, I had no players. I actually kept
turning up to friendlies.
No.
At the end of last season, the last game, I went, yeah, you're all chirpy on that WhatsApp group that you've got. I said, you won't be come the end of the season because none of you are going to be on it.
Are you in the WhatsApp group?
Yeah, not one of them. Not one
so
of them.
So did you have to remove them?
Yeah, well, the physio removed them.
Every
day, so and so has been removed. So a list of about 20 names removed, gone.
So I'm involved. Unbelievable. So you think the club I sort of help out, Dunstable Town, and my mate's the manager, and Tony knows him as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kevin Watto knows him as well. His name's Tony McCall. And. We've got no budget. I can't even. We've got no budget.
The pubic bulge just absolutely ruined.
We've got no budget.
So you've got no budget.
Nothing. So they're paying 120. We're paying zero. Not even
in
petrol
the same
money.
League.
In the same league, right?
Yeah.
So we had. We tried to get a centre forward who hasn't played for about a month, and we needed him back for last night because we've got no players.
Yeah.
So he sends me. Are you available tonight? I'm not going to say his name.
Yeah.
I'll put you in the squad.
So,
No, Tony, I won't be able. Why not? I want to earn back my position and work on pointers you gave me to improve. So I have a training session to work on. So he wants to train on his own and be on the bench. Yeah, but we really need you. Actually, I just can't do it.
So he tried to
say he wants to train.
He's doing a training session instead of a game.
He want, yeah.
So you just play the game.
Exactly.
The thing
this is what you're dealing with.
The thing is, Rob, we play. We played Dunstable, Kev and Tony's team, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Tony's there. Bear in mind, I knew Tony from Luton when Kev was there. Yeah. He was the analyst or whatever. So we've beaten 5-0, and it was quite a comfy 5-0. And I can see him, and he's going absolutely mental at the end, right? And he's walked on the pitch at the end, and he's saying to his players, "Look at him! Look at him!" Pointing to my skipper. "Look at him! You could wring his shirt out! You could wring his shirt! Can you wring yours out? No, you can't!" And like, I'm like, he's come across. He went, "What do you think?" I went, "They've actually had a go for you, mate. They've really had a run around. Unfortunately, if I was you, I'd just save your breath, because sometimes they're just not good enough."
Yeah.
And that is literally what it was. "Oh, thanks for that, mate." I went, "Just save your breath, because they're trying for you."
Yeah, but they're just not that level. Also, as well, there's a reason why if you're in that league and you can go to somewhere and you can get a couple hundred quid a week and go there for nothing, it's going to be different levels.
I'll tell you now.
What's Hereford?
About 12 grand a week, yeah.
12 grand a week?
And we're in the same league.
Yeah, they're in.
So it's like Barnet.
It wasn't even Hereford, though.
Yeah.
Unless you're a cow.
Well, Billericay, Ryman Premier. And you're talking 32 grand a week.
Jeez. Is that Glenn Tampley?
Yeah, that's the one that's all going
that's
mental
now. Was it King of the Jungle?
Yeah.
Are they top of the league then?
Yeah.
They're not in your league.
They're in the Ryman Prem, which
the one above.
It's the same level.
So you've got in the same level, no money. Up against someone 32 because they've got like what's it, Jamie O'Hara, aren't they, and all that.
Jamie O'Hara, Konchesky, Pennant.
Jermaine Pennant. Yeah. Oh my God.
So we played a game last night.
More Asbos and goals. Get the socks over those ankle tags.
Right, so that competition, who's more skintish? I think Dunstable won.
I think you're next.
Well, Gosport are closely
Potless as well.
They got a bit of money though.
Right, let's have a chat about the Tottenham team. And so what kind of character was there when you were there? Ruddock, obviously.
Yeah, Razor, when I first got into the first team, which was quite quickly after signing that new deal, he sort of became my, you know, guardian mentor, if you like.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
And that would mean, you know, taking the piss out of me, doing things, making me do impressions for him.
Great impressions.
At the drop of a hat.
What impressions did he make you do?
Oh, I can't remember now.
Terry Wogan. Do you Terry Wogan?
Yeah, all right. Terry.
You do Terry Wogan?
No. Stitching me up.
Do you Terry Wogan?
Do you Terry Wogan
that sounds like Alan Hansen?
Yeah, that one.
Have you got an Alan Hansen?
I always know he's brilliant on the horse when he does the horses. When we were on the coach on the way home, Mick Harford used to get, "Come on, Watto, get on the microphone and do your horses commentating." And he was blinded.
I don't do it anymore.
Come on.
He's got to do that.
Just do your Terry Wogan.
Terry Wogan or all?
I'll have a think for you.
Great singer as well.
I would say, what have you got any stories about Razor? What you get up to?
I think when we were kids, I think Gazza was the one that was. When we were in the youth team.
Oh, he dominated the
dominated it. I mean, if he wasn't acting the goat every single minute of the day, you knew something was wrong. He must be ill, because there wasn't a day went past where he weren't messing around doing something.
What kind of stuff would he do?
One day, he came in and his dad had a camper van. And you know Mill Hill, you're coming through the gates, you've got a car park where there's about space for about 7 cars. So all the Terry Venables, Ray Clements and all that park their cars in there. Then you drove through a little opening, didn't you? Which had a height restriction thing. Yeah. And he came in his dad's camper van one day. So it just about scraped through the top.
Yeah.
Of this thing, it like took a little bit of the top of his camper van, get scratches or whatever. So there was a lad there, John Coberman, that used to do everything. He was Gazza's Joey. Gazza's Joey, Paul Stewart's Joey. He just used to do everything they asked him.
It be for money or would it just be...
No, just because he loved him. He just was absolutely starstruck
whatever
by
Gazza.
Yeah. So Gazza one day is like, John, he says, I've come through that height restriction thing. He said, I think I've done a little bit of damage to the top of Dad's camper van. Can you get up there and have a look? So he climbs up a little ladder at the side of the thing. Gazza gets in the door and starts airing around the car park with John hanging on for dear life. Lads are pissing themselves. He's going, "Hang on, John, you'll be all right." And then one day... in my youth team, Ian Culverhouse, Neil Young, who's Luke's brother who played at Spurs.
Yeah.
Neil had a good career, didn't he? Went to Bournemouth. They used to travel in with two others, Colin Kinnear and Kevin Jordan. in Coles. We called it the Golden Bullet. He had like a Fiesta. Can't remember what reg it was, but it was gold. Right. So every day he used to come in there. So I've parked up one day in the small car park, got out, and I can hear this car come behind me. It's Gazza's Merc at the time, top of the range, blacked out, black tyres and all that sort of stuff. So I'm looking around, all of a sudden they've got out the car, the four of them. What are you doing in that? Well, Gazza comes in from the same way, doesn't he? We've stopped to get petrol. He's with Paul Stewart. And he said, come on, we'll swap cars. So all of a sudden, Cole, 19 years old, is in this top-of-the-range Merc with the lads, shitting himself, driving into Mill Hill, driving about 20 miles an hour, don't want to scratch it or anything. I went, well, where is he? Even I don't know, he left before us. Anyway, there's no one there. All of a sudden, as we're talking, you can hear it coming up the road, right? You can't see it, you can hear it. And he's probably in second gear doing about 80 miles an hour. Handbrake skid into the tyres, smoking and everything. He's got out, chucked the keys and Cole and went, I enjoyed that. And just walked in. Cole's like, and like the wheels were smoking. He drove up about 80 miles an hour, second gear. In the car park one night, we come back from a game, and all the cars were at the training ground parked up, and Caskey had his old man's big Sierra. He drove it in. Gazza pulled up behind him, knowing it was his old man's car, and it was the first time he drove it. And you know the big fences, and they've got the metal poles to separate the different parts of the fences. So Cask's headlight was level with one of the poles. Gazza gets in the car in his Merc, pulls up behind it, just so he's touching it, and squeezes it into the fence.
What a limit.
Smash! Light's gone. Drove off.
Okay. Must be ridiculous, especially when you're young and you want to impress. And not only is he doing ridiculous stuff, but he's sort of like the big dog there and the best player as well.
Yeah, there were some big characters in that team. Big
so who else was there? Was Gazza,
Paul Stewart, Paul Walsh, and Lineker in that team.
Stop touching me, Kev, in that play. You know you can't do anything.
You'd be like Henri with Carragher. Putting your hand on his leg.
How solid it is. In on the weights, I'm telling you.
Absolutely. Work away your way through Nando's, mate. Protein off my nut. So hot in it. Was you a professional?
After a Thursday, did you?
You got pissed in the club tracksuit, didn't you? That story?
Oh, no.
You forgot you told that, didn't you?
Oh, God. What, not the Luton one?
Yeah.
Is that the Luton one?
Yeah.
Come on.
Was you there?
Tell that one. Well,
you know nearly. We nearly got sacked. I thought Mick was going to...
What happened?
Is this allowed?
Mick was the manager.
Mick Harford?
Yeah.
And I was...
He was
assistant first team coach.
It's just complete...
So you was the assistant manager?
Yeah, but I don't... But I'd only just made the transition. Like, it was literally one day I was a player.
Oh, okay.
Because of injuries, I packed up in... December.
He'd got literally, bad calves, hasn't he?
Bad calves.
He's got bad calves. Yeah.
His calves are too big.
Literally.
What's wrong with your calves?
I'm not sure that's the medical term. Yeah, what's the problem? Yeah, they're just massive. So you can't play them.
The calves are too big.
They can't get in the socks.
Gym pads don't fit.
Yeah,
come on.
So we went on tour.
So you're an assistant manager and you're what? An old pro? How old
are
you at
this point? Yeah, I was about 35.
Earning a bit of coin, selling a few shirts in the club shop, banging in 7 goals a season.
We were...
Bang on.
Where were we? We were down in Barnstaple.
What was it? Barnstaple?
We were down in Barnstaple.
Oh.
So what
happened? Oh, middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. So
there's nothing to do.
I'd only just made the transition from player to coach.
Yeah.
So me and him and Kev Nichols, who is a bit
nutter.
Of a lunatic.
Was he a player?
But he's
what kind of stuff would he do?
There's something a little bit wrong with Nicko.
X-rated stuff.
That what?
Putting a spider in his mouth for the whole day when he's
for the whole day
doing this. Were you there that time? He's doing this, and a spider there, and he's calling it Terence.
Oh,
hi Terence. The whole day doing this.
And then she would just go up to people and then keep it in there.
And then when he was injured at the time, so he's had it the whole day. And then when he was going home at like 2 o'clock, he took it out of his mouth, put it up on the wall, sellotaped its legs and went, see you tomorrow, Terence.
That's insane.
Yeah.
We've heard weirder stuff, but that's definitely the most mad.
It was a Friday, we trained.
Is this
Barnstaple? It was so boring down there. There was nothing to do.
Well, and next door to the hotel.
Originally, we just there was a pub, wasn't there? And there was a bit of sport on. So me.
No. But before we were in the coffee shop.
No, yeah, me. Yeah, but
and we were pouring.
No. That was in the pub on the corner. Yeah. So we went to the pub on the corner and it started.
Oh, yes.
He went, what shall we have? I went. Let's just have a coffee.
Yeah. You're the manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
Manager. You're a professional now.
So then Nico's with us, the lunatic. Mm. He's had a coffee.
Terrence there or?
Yeah. No, Terrence.
I don't think he should have a coffee.
Then Kev's like, well, shall we have something in the coffee? Like. I was like, yeah, go on then. We'll have a drop of brandy in the coffee. So we had a drop of brandy in the coffee. At this point, Nico's going, no, I don't think you should. Don't even him.
Don't think.
So you're playing
him.
The next day?
Yeah.
Well, he was. I was all right. So then it became, well, there's not much to do this afternoon. It's unlike Mick. Just wouldn't let no one out, would he?
Yeah.
You couldn't go out. The hotel was boring.
There was nothing
around.
And we was in a room like this room, me and Nico. It was the
tiny
we
little
like, the oldest pros, and they put us. The young lads had like sweets, and they put us up in the sky in this little
robot. They probably thought they're going to go and get pissed
anyway. And
we're
like
anyways.
Doing this, yeah.
Like, so then
I've got to get out of here.
After the coffee, and then the coffee with the brandy, he's like, "Shall we go for a walk around the town?" I said, "Yeah, let's go and have a walk around the town." So all of a sudden we walk, and he's gone.
Well,
there's 100 yards. There's a Wetherspoons over there. So we've gone in the Wetherspoons. I went, "What do you want?" And we had a pint, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then that pint, I went, "What do you want? We can't keep drinking beer. Can we? Let's get a bottle of wine. About £6 for a bottle of wine." So we got a bottle of wine. All of a sudden there was that old couple.
Oh, no.
There was an old couple. So they've latched onto us. He told me to change. I'm sitting in these shorts, tracksuit with KW.
I've got jeans and a shirt, t-shirt.
So you're wearing jeans and a t-shirt, and you're wearing the tracksuit.
Yeah. And I said, go and get changed.
I'm killing us.
Because we're going to get it done here.
I'm killing us at this point.
Next thing I start getting Larry.
It's 11 o'clock from 3 o'clock in
the
afternoon.
Have you got changed?
No.
It's 11 o'clock. We missed dinner. We was on our fourth bottle of wine.
We were bladdered. You know when you get anything's out the window? Should I go back for dinner? Nah, don't
and
worry.
Then they
won't notice us. The two loudest people at the club.
then we've said to them, come and have a drink with us. And they're like, we'll finish it. We'll finish this. We might. So we've walked back. We've tried to walk in a bit indiscreet, haven't we?
Yeah.
And Mick was... They gone. Was having, they was having dinner
yeah.
or something.
I was like, no. What happened was, Brown. I said to the woman, we said, we're playing Exeter tomorrow. And I'll get your tickets. She's gone back early, right? From the pub, gone in front. Where's those two Kevins?
Are the two Kevins here?
They said we can have tickets, and the lads are like, well, yeah, they're up at the pub, absolutely to get the tickets and absolutely stitched them. I've walked in and
I thought sod this. I've dived straight up the stairs, up to bed. Thought I'm staying out of this. He's gone in like blottoed, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's gone into where all the lads are just sitting having a diet coke and a drink. But the directors were sitting in there, weren't they? And having dinner.
First
and they were
team
back.
Coach was there.
And they
he
were
said, they know. Mick knows. And I went, oh, no. So I said...
But then Mick come back, didn't
I went, I'm waiting for Mick. Because I ain't going to bed like thinking, waiting more. I won't get no sleep. So I'm just going to get it out in the open. And... Yeah, he was.
You had a ride, didn't you? And you went, don't matter how much I drink, I'll still be the best player tomorrow.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And then I went in the next day and said sorry again. He put me on the bench. Yeah. Oh my God, I was rotten. I'm like, please don't get me on. Please don't. No, but he made
and
me
he,
run up and down
called,
after the game, box to box. I was absolutely ruined.
He called me in the next morning and was like, what, are you killing me? You're killing me. They're like, going, what's going on? And so I was like, look, it's not usually what I do, but you know, it's boring. There's nothing
boring.
To do. He's like, yeah, but you can't do that now. You're the other side of the fence.
Why did you wear your tracksuit, you
know.
Idiot?
I liked it.
Could have got
you
away
start
with
offering
it.
Tickets
decent
out to
get, decent gear.
I was steaming. That's what
but
you
yeah,
do.
It
all goes out the window.
The two Kevins.
It was,
the two Kevins.
Two Kevins
here.
The lads are like, what?
The two Kevins.
Tickets out to everyone.
Oh, my God.
What didn't Gazza do something with squirrels?
Yes, he did. That was quite a funny one.
Well, he did put it in his mouth all day, didn't
we? Had a little
mad
up at Mill Hill again. Kev's been there. You got the main house, and then at the end you had the little canteen. You'd go in there, little bit of breakfast before training, and a couple of rolls afterwards. That is all you'd get then. It was none of this protein shakes and all the right stuff you should eat. That is what it was: two cheese rolls, two ham rolls, whatever. So Gazza had got changed one day, probably half one. Everyone's going home, and Sue, bless her, who's no longer with us, was frying bread out, and the squirrels were coming to eat the squirrels. Sue, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just feeding them. That's vermin. Shouldn't be anywhere around the place. Shouldn't be anywhere around food. Now, come on, guys. I do it every day. They're not hurting. Yeah, they are hurting. Full of vermin, full of disease. She was like, no, don't be silly. He went, if they're here tomorrow and you're doing that tomorrow, I'm going to shoot them. Right? So.
Is he having a laugh of her or he's just serious?
Hang on. So the next day or a couple of days later, he's stayed behind again at training and Sue's out there frying the bread. What did I tell you? He's gone back in the dressing room. Air rifle. And he's shooting at them as they're running up the training ground with an air rifle.
What is he doing there?
Oh, just trying to kill them. Just trying to shoot them. Because they're vermin, that's why.
Does he really think they're vermin? He's doing it for a laugh? You don't ask.
Well, when he went up to Rangers, he was bored, wasn't he? And he was in a real plush hotel or whatever, so he took his fishing rod and started fishing in the ornamental pond in the hotel. Trying to catch koi carp.
I don't know if I'll have to ask Paul Mercer when he's on that story where when they was at Middlesbrough together, they used to gamble all the time, but they used to both take sleeping tablets and bet who would fall asleep first.
Yeah. And whoever was left, that was it. Yeah. Andy Townsend as well, wasn't it? Andy Townsend, Merce, and Gazza, I think it was. And they used to red wine and sleeping tablets. And whoever's left awake takes the money off the table and is theirs.
What a game!
Yeah. Yeah. Podcast.
And in the worst case scenario, you have a nice sleep.
You don't wake up one day, I guess, when you're doing that.
Yeah, don't go overboard.
Yeah, yeah.
Just decent enough. Also, Pardew gets a lot of stick on this podcast, Manny from Bullard. But you played for him, didn't you?
I did play for
Pardew. What was he like to play for?
Pardew. Yeah, Pardew.
Chocolade.
Yeah, he is. He's very much, you love him or you hate him. And I actually loved him because he was very honest. There was no grey areas with Pards. If he said you weren't playing and you went in to see him, he'd tell you why you weren't playing. And you knew where you stood with him. He comes across very up himself and flash, and he is. he is, but
he's open about it.
He is, yeah. He's, you know, but.
Did he get involved with the lads on nights out and things like that?
Not really. No, he was just in his infant stage, really, as a manager at Reading. Right. But he was really good. He was really good. But he used to have a pop at players. I remember we signed Scotty Murray, who was a good player, wasn't he, at Bristol City. Yeah, he scored 20-odd goals one season. Mind you, he had Brian Tinian, who was unbelievable midfielder, feeding him all the time. And Scotty came to us for about 300 grand. And we were doing a shooting practice one day, and Scotty weren't the best with his left foot, and the ball kept going on his left foot, and it was going everywhere. And Pards were like, whoa, stop there. What are you doing? And Scotty's like, what? He went, you carry on like that, mate. He went, you're going back where you came from. 2 months later, he's back at Bristol City.
Really?
Sold back.
Oh.
I've seen him stop a session and go, whoa, you can't do that. You won't be going where I'm going, mate. This was when we was at Reading and was like, where are you going, Gaffer? I'm going to Premier League. And he did.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah.
He backed it up. The Stacky one I listened to reminded me of a couple of goalkeepers that I've played with. Kev,
they're not right, are they, keepers?
Kev, they're not wired correctly. No, if you're too nice as a keeper, it means you're going to be shit.
You've got to be a nutty, you're getting balls fired at you in training for like 7 yards.
Yeah.
Into so the balls and all that.
Two
pubes wouldn't take it, would it?
Pubic bone.
Pubic bone would be dead.
Poor little saggy pubic bone hanging around his ankles. Poor thing.
Fill a pram, son.
The two I remember the most are Mike Pollitt, who's now the assistant manager at Rotherham with Paul Warne. They were both teammates of mine, but Polly was, again, not completely all there. So we used to get a good result under Ronnie Moore at Rotherham. We'd be on the bus on the way back from wherever. And he'd send John Brecken down. What, the lads fancy a night out Tuesday? And it's just because Breck and Ronnie wanted a night out and get away from the missus or whatever. So, all right. And invariably it was Sheffield Dogs, followed by a night out in the local club, which was a bit of a shithole in Sheffield, the Leadmill. So anyway, this one particular night, we've gone to the Dogs and the lads are at the Dogs and me and Polly somehow just ended up drinking at the bar. And he's like, shall we go early? There's like only a couple of races left. We'll get in there early. I said, yeah, all right, then we'll go down there. So we get in the cab, jump in the cab down to the Leadmill. So there's literally at 10 o'clock at night, it was student night.
Yeah.
There's no one else in there. There's hardly anyone else in there. There's a few women over there or whatever, and we're at a bar. So he goes, what do you want? So just a pint or whatever. So we're standing drinking a pint. all of a sudden, puts the pint down and he's off. I'm like, where's he going? He has slid along the dance floor on the shiny floor, right? Three birds talking in a circle, bags on the floor with her. He slid, and at the top of his voice, keepers! Slid, took the bag in, stood up, and bowled it back across the dance floor towards me. I'm like, what's he doing? What is he doing? And then Geezer just come up to me and went, you've had enough, mate. See you later. So I'm then standing there on me. I'm like, it's like he wanted to get chucked out. Yeah. Something just went in his mind.
Keeper just grabbed the bag and threw it across the
floor. Yeah, and picked it up and like bowled it like he's throwing it
but
out
no
to a fullback.
But no one's egged him on or dared him to
It's only me and him in there.
There's no points, there's no reaction. You're just going...
I'm like, what are you doing? Like, the lads are not going to be here for another half hour. I'm standing
at least wait and do it in front of all the lads
yeah, exactly,
if you want to make a...
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
He's not right. Yeah, is there any other ones, any other stories?
I've got one more.
I
think that's all right. So definitely. We had a car school at Colchester because I should have moved, but I didn't. So when I left Reading, I was travelling from Reading to Colchester, which was over 2 hours every day.
But
there was a little car school on the way. I used to pick up Carl Duguid, Jamie Curran, Johnny Jackson, who's now captain at Charlton, etc. Anyway, this one particular day, me, Doogie and Jamie Curran were travelling back. And we used to leave our car at South Mimms. Duke used to carry on and me and Curo used to head back to Reading. Anyway, this one particular day, the traffic was horrendous. Just coming past Potter's Bar, stop, start. And then all of a sudden, we've just stopped. So Curo's giving it to us a little bit in the back. I wouldn't have come this way, not this time of day, giving it that one. Come, must be another way. And he's like having a tear up. Dougs has just looked at me and I've gone, yeah, come on. So we've opened the doors on the motorway. We're not hardly moving. Got in the back, give him a few digs. Got back in the car. So he's like... We've done him up a little bit. By this time, we've started moving again. Yeah. Drop him off. It's all a big laugh and a joke. Me and Curo go home. 8 o'clock that night, I'm at home, sitting with my wife at the time. The phone rings. Hello? What-o? Yeah? It's Dougs. Hello, mate. He said, you're not going to believe this. I went, what? He went, I was sitting there having me dinner tonight. He went, and I had a knock on the door. I went, right. He said, and there's two officers standing there. I went, go on. He went, and they said, you, Mr. Duguid, whatever, yeah, this your car, Reg? Yeah, that's me. There's been an allegation made against you. He went, what? And he said, I started laughing at him. And they went, Mr. Duguid, this isn't funny. There's been an allegation made this afternoon that on the M25, two people got out the front of your car and started beating up an old lady in the back.
Kira's an old lady.
I mean, he's 42 now, but he was only 30 at the time. But he's only little, and he had the little curly.
Yeah, yeah.
I went, what? He said, I started laughing and went, nah, mate, listen, this is what it is. And that was, and they were like, no, we're going to have to do a few more investigations into it. So I went, just ring Kira. So we're trying to ring Kira. Yeah. Can't get hold of him. They've come back half hour later and said, no, the person is convinced that the two of you and an accomplice, have got out and were beating this old lady up in the back. And in the end, I was like, you are kidding me. And I'm telling the wife, and she's like, what? I went, I can assure you it was Curo. It weren't an old lady, it was Curo, because she started half believing it as well. Anyway, Curo finally picks the phone up to us, and we're like, you've got to ring Hertfordshire Police. And to sort this out. So he actually rung him laughing and sorted it out. But when dudes rang me, yeah, two of you beating up an old girl in the back of a back
I'll
of
make
your
sure
car.
I don't give Jim Bud a slap car. In the high street. Beckett attacks old woman. Wicked. Oh, thanks so much, mate. That's good to chat. I enjoyed that. And Kev Gallen, thanks for stepping in. Right, you have to, well, we have to put comments on iTunes. Oh, I don't give a fuck. See you later. I can't even start begging for it, like it or don't. Cheers, lads.
See ya.
The Magic Sponge is a .. production for Dave, hosted by Rob Beckett, Jimmy Bullard, and Ian Smith.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no! Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this? What is...
I know what this one is.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.